This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about Frisco?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
And welcome down to Tee, Florida. Two pros and a hack and a portion of the entertainment gallery in the house. On the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, we're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and our sports channel, Florida Sports Streams, on this January 25th, 2023. It feels like March right now, which is superb, great for the world of golf. On the Tee, Florida is brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewery, and, of course, where they're serving breakfast daily. And as I say, we're in our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. John Rager is up there in St. Augustine Beach. Bill Buttner, I believe, is on the way, the other pro, the 15-year PGA pro, St. Pete Country Club, still working there. And, of course, he was at Eckerd College for 21 years. And then Tom Gribben's taking the day off, working on Jeff Ward's in the house, though. That's more important.
I'm here.
Thank you for showing up, my man.
My pleasure.
Well, Tom Gribben's working on his project. We'll just say that with The Last Florida Boy. And it's public news now with Netflix. So that's very cool. So looking forward to seeing how that progresses. Patty Suzette will be here, our cart girl. So that will attract Bill Buttner. So we don't have to worry about him showing up. But we got a great show. There's a lot going on in the world of golf. Of course, you got the PGA show over in Orlando. Bill Buttner was there yesterday. We'll talk to Mark Egli, who's been on numerous times, my good friend from Iowa, PGA of American Teaching Pro, just got a wonderful national recognition award. It was on the Golf Channel. His mug's posted all over the complex over there in Orlando. And John Rager will be going there tomorrow. And very, very proud of him. We'll talk to him. We'll get a live update from Adam Woodward from Golf Week Magazine. He's out there at La Jolla at the Farmers. And looking forward to that conversation. That young man just does a superb job for us. Second hour, Jeremy Friedman will join us to promote the Chubb Classic, where we'll be live from on the 15th of February. But right now, because he's on limited amount of time, let's go right to Adam Woodard. How are you, my man? The weather looks superb out there. And as usual, on that leaderboard, as taken place the last three events to start the 2024 season, the chalk is not up there at the top.
No, it's not, but it's making for an incredible first couple of days out here. I'll tell you what, you usually don't need that too much more to make San Diego, a prime destination. But it's a golf course that I've always loved watching from afar. Good to be here in person. And I'll tell you what, the guys that are playing well, it could be tough to beat. It's like you said, it's not necessarily the cream of the crop. A lot of notable players could be missing the cut and headed home early this week. But I think we're still set up for an awesome finish and what's going to be should make for a fun early weekend here.
You know, they've been hosting that for, I think it's 72 years out there, and they're very proud of mm-hmm. Torrey Pines. You know, it's a public course. I've been blessed to be on it on several occasions, and I'm not going to talk about my shenanigans there. I certainly didn't do anything beyond look at the gorgeous view of the Pacific and revel in the beauty of that historic track. But you know, one of the things, unfortunately, as we just alluded to, is it's not as star-studded. Think about it. Lefty and Tiger Woods carried that for several mm-hmm. decades and attracted anybody from around the world that was in the top 10. I mean, that place was a must play on the tour back in the day.
Yeah, for sure, and I think it's definitely kind of its own doing for a while. A lot of players don't like to come out here. It's a very difficult course. The rough is always so incredibly penal, especially this week after, you know, the record rainfall they had on Monday. They haven't had a chance to cut the rough or trim it. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be U.S. Open bad come Sunday, but it's going to be pretty thick and pretty lush, and if it's dewy in the morning, it can be pretty tough to hack it out of there. But on top of how difficult the conditions can be out here, now with the signature event format, it's kind of between a rock and a hard place, right? It's one of those last events that players can use to play into the signature events. But it's also how many guys are going to want to come out and be challenged here before they go play Pebble, before the Waste Management Phoenix Open also coming up on the schedule. It's just in such a hard spot this early in the season. But it's great to see some other big names come out here still. They might not be at the top of the leaderboard, as we mentioned, and they might not be out here for more than 2 days. But it's still good to see that. I think there's, maybe 20 of the top 50 players in the world here. It's not a great number, but it's not a terrible one either. And, you know, the players that are playing well, hopefully they get a little bit more notoriety. Like you said, they might not be the biggest names, but that's why I still like the PGA Tour and the schedule, because it gives these guys who may not be household names a chance to come out and become names like that.
Well, that has happened.
You know, Adam, a question for you. I know that when I went out there years and years ago, it's a public golf course, and I remember going in the golf shop literally to pay a greens fee to go play there. And I don't know what the rate was, but it was not like the rates are today. But then this has been about 20 years ago. But it was still a substantial amount of money to, you know, go play golf. It was still just south of $100 or so. And then I discovered if you're a local and you live there, at that time it was like $10 to play. You know, and there's four guys go out there carrying their bag, pay $10 a piece, went out to play. Is it still public out there? Is it still public golf course?
Yes, it is still public, and as someone, I think I can, the statute of limitations is up. I have used someone's ID from the area who I kind of look alike to get a bit of a better rate.
I knew I liked you.
Exactly. I'm a golf baller on a budget, you know. I gotta keep my money tight, just like the game. But it's an incredible thing that players can come out here, and amateur players can come out when the tournament's passed, and you can go out and you can see the shots. You can go to the spots on 18 that Tiger's hit countless shots, whether it be when he made this place his personal ATM over a 14-year stretch with seven wins, whether it was his U.S. Open win. You know so many shots just from the highlights, right? And it's cool to, and I'm not going to lie, I went out to a few of the spots and put a ball down, in whether it be a bunker shot or a shot from the back of the green, you know, trying to recreate some of those famous Tiger shots. Obviously didn't get anywhere near it. But that's why I love when the tour comes to these public courses, right? Because we as fans, and especially in the media, we get so wrapped up, and it's so easy to forget that the vast majority of golfers aren't professional, and the vast majority of golf isn't professional. The true essence of the game is in the amateur, as at the amateur level. It's why we all play. We all play for the love of it. So for them to be able to come out and play a place that the tour gets to play, I just think it's one of the coolest things when they go to these muni courses that are open to the public. I think it's just the best.
You know, Adam, earlier this week, San Diego made national news. You know, I try to follow every week the Monday qualifier. It's kind of fun to watch these Monday qualifiers out there. And I understand that they had so much rain that they had to postpone at least till Tuesday or so. But saw that there was, like, massive flooding out in San Diego. How'd the course fare with all that? I mean, I know that these greens superintendents do a fantastic job out there on the PGA Tour, but is the golf course a little softer? Is it dried out? How'd the weather affect it earlier in this week?
It definitely affected early on. Like you said, they had to push the Monday qualifier back to Tuesday, and it's already a shortened week with the Wednesday to Saturday schedule. So, you know, Max Homa was quick to make a joke that, you know, just because he's got, you know, he's got history here, so do a lot of other people. So the only advantage that he might have is over the four people who did qualify. But it was definitely wet the first 2 days. They have preferred lies for the first two rounds, obviously, with lift clean in place. Because if you're going to have them for the first round, you have to have it for the second, with the guys playing two different courses, with the north and south course being used for the opening rounds. It probably wasn't needed today. They obviously had to do it, but they could have gotten away with not doing lift clean in place if it was only on one course today. Was definitely needed yesterday, but a lot of the guys were saying, you know, it made the, like I said earlier, the penalty of missing the fairway and hitting it into the rough off the tee, it amplified that, but it also made it a lot easier from the fairway to go attack some of the more difficult pins that they had in these first two rounds, because the greens were so much more receptive. They could really stop and really go flag hunting. And I mean, we saw yesterday that especially happened on the north course. It played 179 under par, I think, as opposed to the south course that played a whopping under par. It was crazy to see the guys just go out and pin their ears back from the fairway, and it really, really amplified the benefit given to guys who are not only long off the tee but also accurate. So short answer, it's definitely been an impact, and it's going to be interesting to see what the rough looks like come the weekend. But today, I mean, I'm standing out here now looking out at the ocean. The sun's out, just a few clouds in the sky. It's as good as it could be. So we are in for quite the weekend and for quite the viewing schedule for all the East Coast guys and people in the Northeast who are maybe buried under snow to be able to watch some good primetime golf this weekend.
Hey, Adam, it's a rarity sometimes for anybody to make a hole-in-one out there. And I understand there was a hole-in-one made today, so a couple questions. Who made that hole-in-one? And in the media tent, did that PJ Tour Pro come in and buy everybody a Mick Ultra?
So Hideki Matsuyama shockingly made his first ever PGA Tour hole-in-one, I guess his fourth in his career, in his life. But, I mean, for everything that guy's accomplished, former world number one amateur before he turned pro, he's won 8 times on the Japan Tour, 8 times on the PGA Tour, first Japanese player to win the Masters. I mean, you would just assume that he's made an ace before on the PGA Tour, but no, he did it on the uphill par 3, number 8 on the South Course, had a nice little one-hop and kind of caught the edge and dropped right in, but threw the ball away to some lucky fan, which I thought was interesting. I mean, if I ever make a hole-in-one, I'm definitely holding onto that ball forever and showing it to everybody that I ever talked to after, let alone just throwing it away to a fan. But I guess that just shows the differences between my game and Hideki Matsuyama and his career. But no, there are no libations in the media center just yet. But we'll wait and see if Hideki comes over and gets us a few drinks after the round's over. But that's the one storyline I will definitely be watching today and be waiting for.
Hey, you're listening to On the Tee Florida. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Conversation brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka with Adam Woodard of Golf Week Magazine. He is live out there at the Farmers, of course, at La Jolla Golf Course. And I do have to backtrack a week because today there was some other breaking news. And, of course, that was Nick Dunlop, the winner, of course, last week and the first amateur since 1991, and Phil Mickelson to win on the PGA Tour. And he did pull the trigger. He turned pro today, and bravo. What are your thoughts on, first of all, the win? I saw him win at the U.S. Amateur at Cherry Hills. I was out there. And the win and then the decision to go pro.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of was wondering what took him so long. As soon as he won that event, I would have staked my claim and gone pro right away. Obviously, he wanted to talk to his coaches, teammates, family, and all that. So the decision for him to pull out of this event this week, he was supposed to be out here to go back home, go back to school, talk to his people. It just shows that, one, he's got a great head on his shoulder, and two, he's got great people guiding him. I've gotten to know Nick a little bit over the last few years. And talking to him, talking to everybody around him, you just know that, like, this kid is made for something special. I'm not saying he's going to go out and he's going to be a 10-time major winner or anything like that, but he is so wise beyond his years. I mean, 20 years old, and for him to talk the way that he does and to view his career the way that he already does, it's incredible what this kid's been able to accomplish already. And I think he's going to be just fine out here. I mean, there are going to be some bumps along the way, like happens for every young player when they come out on tour. It's definitely going to be a change of pace for him coming out as a sophomore. I mean, we saw Matthew Wolf do the same thing, and I'm not going to say that he's going to end up on Matt's career path, but it can be a struggle for guys, even if they do find success early on. So I'm curious to see what it's going to look like. I'm excited that he's going to be right back out there at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and he's not going to wait a whole lot before he gets his career going, but I mean, the kid just has such a good head on his shoulders. He's got good people guiding him.
And a lot of people wish.
Hey, Adam, one of the concerns that people had, it's funny. Go ahead there, Mike.
He's given Nick Saban putting lessons, being the Alabama student. He is not grad, but when talking to his coach the other day, they said, he got a call from Nick Saban right after the win, and they've developed quite the relationship. In fact, he's helping Nick with his putting. So I thought that was a cool story. Hopefully he gets a lot of calls from Nick Saban now that he's stepped down at Alabama.
Well, and yeah, Nick's got a whole bunch of time to play golf too. So wherever Dunlap ends up living, I'm sure he's going to get some visits from Coach Saban to go down in there and play. But yeah, the stories that the Alabama guys tell about Coach Saban and him being around at the facility, always getting some shots in before practice and stuff like that, working on his game. I've heard so many great Nick Saban stories about him out there grinding with the guys, having putting contests and chipping contests with them, and during the off season and the down periods of time. Coach Saban loves his golf, and his connection with Nick was a pretty cool way to the part of the storyline there. And for him to call in during the final round, I thought was a nice touch last week too. That was pretty fun.
Hey, Nick, I mean, Adam, talking about Nick, you know, one of the things that us avid golfers and fans looked at is if it's any concern of ours was the concern that as an amateur he got into the four major championships because of his virtue of his U.S. amateur win. But now I've discovered that he's going to be able to play in the U.S. Open, and because he won Sunday, he gets that Masters invite, even though he had it through the U.S. amateur. Now he has it through winning on the PGA Tour and the PGA Championship, and the Open Championship is waiting on that. But I have a feeling that Nick, by the time the Open Championship comes around, he would have already qualified through his ranking in the world golf rankings. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, he jumped up to, I think, 68th or something like that, so he's knocking on the door already, and it's so early in the season for him to be able to be in that position already. So, you know, his ranking is going to fluctuate, and it might be a little close for him, but it depends on how well he plays early on. If he comes out swinging like he has been and makes a couple cuts and keeps beating a lot of players that are ahead of him like he has been already, I think he's going to be just fine. But for him to get that kind of major experience that early on in his career is going to be crazy. And the fact that a guy like Ludvig Åberg, however the heck you want to pronounce his name, the fact that he's going to be making his first major appearances this year, and Nick Dunlap is going to be 5 years younger than he is with 2 years less of college, and he's going to be doing the same thing, just shows how crazy this game can be. But for him to get that experience early on and to get those reps early, I mean, it's a priceless experience for Nick. And the way he can move the ball, the way he can hit it, and looking at some of the major championship venues we have this year, I mean, he could be in play for a couple made cuts and maybe even some top 25s and being in contention for a little bit.
Well, and he's so confident as well.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you be if you played that way?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I followed him around a couple holes out there at Cherry Hills, and, you know, obviously I didn't know who he was. I just thought another, you know, very solid college player that was going to win the amateur. And it went, you know, and it was a grind. Were you out there? I think you were out there. And it was a grind, and I didn't realize that his career. I was standing next to he and his dad and his coach, and here I am wearing my On the Tee Florida stuff and being the great journalist that I'm not. I didn't say a word to these guys. And now I look back in hindsight and think, what the hell? Well, first of all, I snuck onto the course, so I didn't have media credentials. So that there might have been an issue there, too.
Might have been. But, it's, you know, that's where you can rely on guys like us to be able to tell you the nuts and bolts and the tidbits, though.
Well, so, Adam, where's your next stop out there after this week? I mean, are you you at just about every PGA Tour event this year, or selected events? What's your upcoming schedule?
No, so we're still trying to get the rest of the year figured out. I've got a couple events lined up already. Funny enough, I'm actually right back on the road. Once this one's done, I fly home on Monday, get to hang out here. Just going to spend an extra day in San Diego, because why not? And then fly home Monday, and then Tuesday I go down to Mayakoba for the LIV Golf Season Opener. So I'm playing both sides of the aisle on the journalism side of golf here. So excited to go see that one and see what they've got in store. Still waiting to see what team John Rahm's on. Still waiting to see what the rest of their schedule is going to look like. But I certainly won't be at every PGA Tour event, but I will be at a good majority of them this year, hopefully. But yeah, ready to go for the season. I mean, to start off in San Diego and Mexico and Mayakoba, it's not a bad way to get the 2024 travel started.
Not at your age. Hey, you know what? If I believed in reincarnation, I'd want to come back as Adam Woodard and pursue that kind of journalism. Hey, I was gonna throw this out. Who do you think was the second happiest guy last week at the American Express? I would say it might be the guy that got second in the $1.5 million, Christian Beisenhout. Talk about
a
gift.
Yeah, you know, not a bad consolation prize, right? Nothing wrong with silver, you know?
Yeah, not a bad, I mean, he's the amateur, because he's sitting in second. He's like, damn, I'm going to get a mil five here if this kid wins. And he's probably there cheering silently, you know, and not worrying about the in fact, if they got in a playoff, I wonder if he would have thrown it.
Yeah, $1.5 million for a birdie at the 18th to come in second. Like I said, not a bad consolation prize. I'm not sure if Christian would have thrown it necessarily, but the thought might have come into play, though. That's for sure. You know, you just missed that 4 footer, darn. You know, still get $1.5 million. It's not too bad.
Well, you know, Adam, too, that with the new rules this year with the PGA Tour, I think that Nick automatically will get $500,000 for the year as a rookie out there.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but, you know, now that he's accepted his membership, he will get a little bit. But, yeah, he unfortunately won't be able to recoup any of that money that he's lost. But I think he's going to be doing just fine with his sponsorship deals that are going to come in and then the prize money he's going to make this year from the starts that he's going to get. I think he's going to be just fine. But, man, I don't know. Like, that would be so tough for me to go out and win something and all I get is this little trophy and a card, you know? I wish that the $1.5 million would go a long way, you know?
Well, you know, here at On the Tee Florida, we're willing to offer Nick a golf tee deal. You know, wooden tees. We'll put his name on them, and we'll pay him $50 a year and all the tees he wants.
Hey, I might even throw some swag into this deal, so don't minimize it with a cheap offer up front.
Yeah, how much to sponsor me and my amateur events that I play in? What do I get?
You're an amateur, so it's $25 a year.
No, Adam, I'll make you look like a On the Tee Florida NASCAR. I'll have you name the swag. I'll get it for you. Bag, you got it.
Can we throw in free hugs?
You get hugs when you come to see Patty Suzette, the cart girl, and I get you raise tickets. And if you were in town this weekend, you could go to the Royal Rumble across the street. 43,000 WWE wrestling nuts are about a block away from us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Wild
Saturday night, yeah.
Yeah, judging by how I play, I might need those, you know, some of the libations from the cart girl and some hugs too. Given how bad that round's gonna go,
I do what I can. I'm here for you.
I appreciate my man. One thing before we let you go, and I appreciate staying on longer than I anticipated. I've got to have your predictions for the NFC Championship, AFC Championship. Who's going to be playing in Vegas for Super Bowl 58?
Oh man, I mean.
Come on, you should be ready for this.
I'm torn because I think two teams are going to win, but those aren't the teams that I want to win. I nothing more that I want to see than the Lions to get to a Super Bowl. I would just love seeing that. I think that'd be so cool to see them go. As for the AFC, I don't know. I don't. How do you bet against Patrick Mahomes after everything that he's done? No matter how bad his receivers has been, I just can't bet against the guy. I just can't bet against them. So let's go Chiefs Lions. How's that sound?
Well, I would like to see that as well, even though I'm from Iowa and I'm a huge Purdy fan. He went to Iowa State and George Kittle, he went to the University of Iowa. But I love the story, and it's great. You know, it's been since 1991 since they had any playoffs. They got two playoff games, which is superb. It'd be great for the Motor City, which could use a little shot of positivity from time to time. But I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, being from Des Moines, Iowa. But the bottom line is this. You can't go against Lamar Jackson in 2023-24. Holy moly.
I mean, my Steelers beat him twice, so I think it can be done. So that's all I'm saying.
Steelers.
That's all I'm saying.
You got backed into the playoffs, but I do like that organization. They're a class act. You get along real well with my Adam that does a show with me as well. So we'll have to hook you two up when you get here. He's a over the top Pittsburgh Steelers fan. All right,
absolutely.
My man.
Can't wait.
Thank you very much for taking time to join us. We love these live from the event, and I look forward to conversations in the future. Have a great time. Enjoy the weather, and if you get downtown, go to Jim Croce's. It's a great spot.
Ooh, might have to add that to the list. Once again, I appreciate the time as always, guys. It's always fun coming out and chopping it up with you guys. Talk soon, all right? Be good.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Adam.
John Rager, it's always refreshing to talk to Adam Woodward. Just a plethora of information. Why don't we take a quick break? Patty Suzetta, who I was just going to introduce and let her say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Where's your boyfriend, Bill Butner?
So he's actually with a bunch of ladies drinking wine.
I know,
right
the
now.
Wine and dine excuse doesn't work.
Well, he said it's going to be 5:45 to 6 o'clock that we get him here. Not that I have already confirmed.
God. He's something else. He just can't get enough for the women. He's double dipping you, you know.
I do realize
quadrupling it.
But I've just offered a lot of free hugs on the radio, so I don't know if I have a leg to stand on here.
Well, and Adam's more in your wheelhouse, age-wise.
I was going to say, I'm not sure. He sounds very young.
Well, you're a cougar with him, but don't worry about it. He wouldn't know that. All right, let's take a break here on the T-Florida. Come back, and then we're going to have a little conversation. Something right up Jeff Ward's alley. We're going to be talking at 5:45. Street Rod Golf Cart. Aaron Rasmussen. He's the man behind the plan and the Villages. It's the hottest golf cart on the streets there, I guess. But anyway, we'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. Brought to you by our good friends at Michelob Ultra.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back. Head of the Hack Nation, joined by Pat.
Hello, darlings.
And, of course, Jeff Ward, our resident fitness trainer, getting ready We'll get this done. Don't worry. We're gonna get your show on the air, my man. And the sooner the better.
Whenever we're the only one holding you back now.
I'm not worried about it, but we're gonna have a lot of fun. The theme is gonna be "Get Your Fit Together," yeah. but it's gonna have a little different name based on your years of success in the business.
Yeah, we're shifting it back to making a more promotion of our coaching business.
Yeah, which you should. That's what the show's about.
Staying
on the T Florida tells you that we're a golf show.
Staying with Ted.
Which is wise.
Yeah.
All right, John. Nice conversation with Adam as usual. Have I ever shared my Torrey Pines story with you guys?
I don't think so.
John, I had to have shared my story with you.
Did you sneak on the course over there also?
There's a lot of B&E going on over here.
Not quite. John, you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. It was a little crackling, and then I couldn't hear you. And anyway. The first time I went to Torrey Pines was 2001. Went out with my mom, stepdad, who was a avid golfer, but he was worse than I. But you know, he wanted to go to every track. So the girls go shopping, and they bought us a round of golf at Torrey Pines. So we get out there, drop them off some shopping unit, you know, San Diego, and we go there, and I look at the course, and we're both hacks. And I mean, he's really bad, and he wasn't in very good health. And so I said to the guy at the front desk, I said, you know, we'll pay. I said, but I have a golf show in Iowa. I said, I'd really love to just drive out there. And you know, he had cancer at the time. I said, this would be a dream come true. So the guy was kind enough. We drove around, you know, and we knew enough about golf etiquette. We're on the tree line, and there's plenty of cover there. And we went around, I can't remember which one it was, but 18 holes. Got done. Time of our life. We never told the women for about 5 years that we didn't take advantage. We just he smoked cigars and
had a ball.
Well, we putted out on the putting green.
There you go.
But then I went back to my golf show, and I didn't tell those clowns for about 3 years. I said I went to Torrey, boys. They said you golf Torrey. Oh yeah, I got 18 in. You got 18 in? And I described every hole, and they go, holy hell.
How many golf balls did you go through?
They're like, you actually, I said, yep.
Didn't lose a single ball.
I noticed he did not answer that question.
18. Well, I never told him a score. I just said it was gorgeous. I really overemphasized the mystique of it and the pictures, views, yada, yada, yada.
That's amazing, yeah.
5 years later on the air, I said, we were covering this, and I said, and by the way, I never swung a golf club.
Hey, Mike, I got a story, Pine story. First time I went out there, this is years ago when they had that Enron scandal going on, you know, where they had the energy crisis in California and Enron and all that stuff going on. So I flew out there in July, and I'm getting off the plane, and I'm walking over this little bridge in the airport to go to the rental car place because I'm heading over to Torrey Pines, and it's cold. It's like, no wonder there's a power crisis in California. You know, they've got the air conditioning turned way down too low here. Well, I found out that I'm outside. It's in July, and the weather is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's unbelievable. I needed to wear a sweater. So I'm driving to the golf course. I get to the golf course. Beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky. So I go in and eat lunch, and by the time I get ready to go tee it up, the fog rolled in. And it just, like, covered everything, and you couldn't see in front of your face. I mean, you hit a golf ball, you just hope to find it, hope you hit it straight. But it's interesting because the weather out there is so gorgeous. But, you know, you go 10 miles inland, you go to those desert golf courses, I mean, it's just, you know, it's 100 degrees, but it can be 72 and beautiful down there. So, you know, I played Torrey Pines. It was sunny, it was foggy. It was just about every season you could imagine. But, yeah, what a wonderful place that is, San Diego, and you know, obviously, the golf out there, there's a lot of great golf courses out there in that area. So, you know, it's a real treat for anybody to go out to Torrey Pines and play golf.
Well, the next day I did play a Muni that we could at least be halfway respectable on. But the average temperature out there, because I looked at moving there in the early 90s, is 72 degrees.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
You're on. I mean, it's
on the water. Yeah,
it's ideal. I had a lot of friends that lived in La Jolla when I was in the computer industry. But I love that area. Hey, let's talk about Florida though. Right now, there's a great event just south of us. It's the LPGA's Drive On down at Bradenton Country Club. And something that's superb is Bradenton native Nelly Korda is on top of that leaderboard. She's got a 2-stroke lead. And the Florida girls are playing really, really well. Brittany Lincecum, who we'll talk to Bill Butner about her event that took place when if he ever gets here. And then, of course, Lexi. They all played solid today. Have you ever played that country club down there in Bradenton, John?
Yes, I have. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful place down there. And, you know, and one of the things about the LPGA is they go to some golf courses there that sometimes aren't particularly famous, but they are actually just gems. And especially for them, just like the course over at Pelican, they're just perfect for LPGA. It's just the right length. It's the right amount of, bunkering and hazards and water and things like that. And plus, Bradenton is just an unbelievable golf area down there. And, it's not that far from it's actually in our listening area. So if our listeners want to go, I'm sure you could just walk up there and buy a ticket and tool around a little bit because it's very fan friendly out there on the LPGA Tour.
Well, and if you had been at the Annika and you go down there, you're going to see about all the same players, which was really cool. You know, Lydia Ko, who won, if I could speak, she's in the field. I mean, it's a who's who of who's in the top 10 in the world.
Well, what will happen is it's on TV. You know, it's going to be televised, too, on the Golf Channel. So it'll be on in the afternoons on the Golf Channel. So, if you can't make it down there, you can get some good viewing. I know there's football on, but that's Sunday, I think, because I think the PGA Tour played starting yesterday, which was unusual. It's usually the first rounds today. I think they finish up Saturday because of the football playoffs on Sunday.
Well, I was talking to some guys, one of them, my son, who likes to put a few dollars down on dark horses, and he'll ask me, you know, what are you guys talking about betting in the this particular event? And he calls me this morning. Who should I go with? I go, well, round one's over, you clown. And he says, yeah, right. He goes, I turned it on last night. He thought it was a rerun from last year. I said, no, they start on Wednesday. And isn't that because they don't want to conflict with NFL football?
No, they actually do that that way. Specifically, I think they did that just to avoid the TV. Now, it's interesting, though, in years past, and I'm not sure what they'll do this year, but the Phoenix Open usually is on is held on Super Bowl week. And they play anyway. They play on Sunday. They get 300,000 people out there, and they go play. And even when Phoenix hosted the Super Bowl a few years back, they still had the Phoenix Open. They still got. And what they did is they had huge TV ratings because they put it on. I think CBS was televising the Super Bowl that year, so CBS televises the Phoenix Open, and I think that was probably one of the most watched golf tournaments of the whole year. It came on. They finished up the tournament a little bit early that day. They teed off early so they could get done early. But the TV ratings were through the roof. And this year, the Super Bowl is on Las Vegas. And LIV Golf's out there playing a tournament at the same time. So good for LIV Golf. They're going to get a lot of publicity. I hope our friend Adam gets a chance to go out there and cover that, because that's going to be a real hoot out there to have LIV Golf and the Super Bowl going on at the same time in the same town.
Well, he's an assistant editor, so he's got some clout, but I bet that would be a battle of who wants to get to Vegas if they're football fans as well, because that'd be pretty cool.
It's going to be a wild.
Well, maybe next year we'll have a bigger budget for our travel, and we'll send Patty out there to cover the Super Bowl.
Yes, please. Thank
well,
you.
I'm carrying her bags then. If I'm picking up the tab, I'm carrying the bags.
I have a lot of baggage, so
I don't care.
I hope you start.
You don't have to.
You don't have to air Jeff a lot.
You don't
more.
Have to air your baggage on the air. We love you regardless.
I was talking about my multitude of purses. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
I have to have
There's
one for
my
every
mind
outfit.
Going the wrong direction again.
The person shoe collection takes up four
it's,
bags.
It's rough. Life. It's rough. I know.
I'm sure you.
My clothes fold down very small. It's everything else. The purses are enormous.
You don't want to carry a well, it's Vegas. You can carry a gaudy purse.
I like to think of it as gaudy classic.
Okay. Whatever you want to label it. Gaudy classic. Speaking of classics, do you happen to have that leaderboard in front of you? It kind of impresses me that we start the 2024 season, and if you're the periphery fan and you look at, as I said to open the show, chalk. These guys aren't winning these tournaments, and it's kind of cool.
There's well, yeah, you know, but a lot of these folks that they're leading up there. If you're an avid fan of watching golf, you kind of know who they are. And one of the interesting things is if you go to PGAtour.com, they do a good job on the leaderboards. You know, they actually put on the leaderboards the country that people are from. So if what happens is that, and it's just like the LPGA Tour. If you're not familiar with anybody but the American players, you're thinking that, well, okay, we don't have the chalk of the field up. But we actually do. I mean, you have truly all great players up there. Now, from an American side, Tony Finau right now is tied for third. Okay, he's -9. You know, they're still out in the golf course playing. And Michael Kim. Now, Michael Kim is an interesting golfer because he has got one of the biggest social media followings out there on the PGA Tour. And you're thinking, who in the heck is Michael Kim? He has a set the world
San
on fire.
State, I think.
Yeah, but he's actually become quite popular out there. You know, you can follow him on Twitter out there, but he's at -9 also. But some of the PGA Tour players, even though they're from other countries, are regular PGA Tour players. But you're right, you know, you see some names up there like Zach Blair and Patrick Roberts and Aaron Rye. You know, they're young up and comers. You don't really hear about them in the stars, but it's good that the PGA Tour produces that. You know, one of the big things about LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, some of the criticism is that, well, LIV Golf is siphoning all the young players off. Well, guess what? They aren't, because if you think about it, look at Nick Dunlap. He's a star is born. Okay, he was already a star in golf, if you follow golf mostly as the U.S. amateur champ. But now Nick is he's the young star on the PGA Tour. He's only played one event. He won it. And so, you know, I don't think the PGA Tour has to worry about, you know, getting their stars peeled off the tour. There's room for everybody out there. LIV Golf will have the stars, and so will the PGA Tour, because every year the PGA Tour is developing these stars. And so I think the future is bright for both organizations if they would just quit battling each other.
I agree. Well, and the reality also is a lot of people wanted the home favorites. You know, Californians are in the field. Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. There's a couple, and then of course Max Homa, the reigning champ. Hey, now we're going to shift gears. I was going to try to get over on Wednesday to the PGA show, and
wait, shifting gears is, boy, I tell you, that's a really great lead in to the next one.
Did you like that?
I loved that. Gears. That was really good. Shifting gears.
Anyway, and I know Jeff Ford, our resident motorhead as well, he's going to be excited about this conversation. I'm even more excited because to get this gentleman on, I just checked an email real quick today. I was going to get over the show. I didn't get over there. And then I saw that 515 area code. And now, if Tom Gribben was here, he'd be nauseous right now. The 515 area code from the great state of Iowa. And of course, it's from Montezuma, Iowa. And do you think these guys weren't getting on the air? They're getting on the air, and they're on the air. Street Rod Golf Cart, Aaron Rasmussen, kind enough to join us in our Sea Dogs Ice Pick conversation live from Orlando. And, of course, the incredible PGA show that takes place every year. How are you, my man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Now, first question, Hawkeyes or Cyclones?
Oh, Hawkeyes. We're Hawkeye State.
Aaron, I love you. All right, let's continue this conversation. I know my partner up on St. Augustine Beach has questions. Jeff Ward has questions. He is the resident motorhead of our world. But let's talk about how the street rod golf cart business got started in Montezuma and how you've built it and has expanded. You're a household name in the villages. Give us a little background there about the company.
Yeah, back in 1995, Craig Schmidt had a love for hot rods. He saw a market for specialty carts and kind of put that together. From there, he ran that for about 20 years. Pritchard Companies bought that 6 years ago. And now Craig's son, Jesse, is our production manager, and he's a hands-on guy on the factory.
Hey, you know, Aaron, we've got a lot of listeners out there. Not only are they listening in 8 cities on our terrestrial stations, but we have 3 streaming channels, Radio St. Pete, Florida Sports Streams, and also Tantalk.com. And so I know that they got their phones out right now. We have one of our top fans is going to be at the PGA show tomorrow. His name's Wild Bill Stereau. And for all our listeners out there, especially you, Wild Bill, go to StreetRodGolfCars.com, StreetRodGolfCars.com. Bill's got a golf course in his backyard. He absolutely has to have one of these. These are the coolest things I've ever seen when I just went to your website and started looking around. Absolutely awesome. Tell us about how you put these things together.
So we start with a club car, commercial level chassis. So we have an 800-pound payload on it. It's all aluminum, no rust ever on it. And then from there up, we build everything in-house, fiberglass bodies. We spray them, roll them by hand. They go through 4 different rounds of hand sanding to get their shape. And then we do high-quality automotive paint, sand that down again, good clear coat on it. You get that car show quality before it leaves. They look good on the Internet, but you got to really see them in person. They're absolutely beautiful in person.
What booth number are you at so we can send Wild Bill over as our representative? I'm going to try to get up tomorrow morning at 6:30 and get over there, but I have another date as well. But if I do get over there, I'll stop by. What booth number are you guys?
We're 785. Would love to have you guys.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have one. Too bad it's not outdoors. We could take one for a little demo ride,
AKA
right?
AKA Joyride. Aaron, these are beautiful.
Well, you're the cart girl.
I am, and I was never hooked up with one like this. I mean, I feel like I got robbed. It would have been way more fun joyriding one of these bad boys.
If you haven't been on one, you were robbed.
I was robbed. My dad actually lives in the villages, too, so we've been drooling over yours, and I didn't realize that you were the one who created them. They're beautiful.
So Jeffrey, you got any mechanical questions? Any motorhead questions?
I just love the knockoff wheels and stuff on them. I mean, they really do. You know, they pick up the body lines. The original hot rods are awesome. I've seen them driving around the villages. My mom lives right up also. So,
you know, our standard wheel is actually a real Krager.
It's actually a real Krager. That's awesome.
That's amazing. These are fantastic.
So, what's your role there, Aaron?
I'm the operations manager. I am located in Iowa where I'm at the factory, but I also oversee the dealership as well, so I make trips to the villages quite a bit.
I love partying there personally. I've been going since I was like 22.
You're the youngest.
It's a unique experience.
It is a unique experience, and I'm pretty sure I almost gave a guy a heart attack when I was slow dancing with him because he was like up to my boobs. But he was a little hungover, but it was such a good time.
I told you, I love it there. I told you to relax when you came on our show because you never know what's going to come out of one of our mouths here, Aaron.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee. Are you married?
I am married.
I bet she's not happy that you're down in Florida while she's back up there. And if you were a smart man, you would have dropped them off at Disney World, and you went to the show. But she's probably not too happy that you are in the great state of Florida, because I talk to Iowans on a daily basis, and it's been a rough patch.
How cold is it there now?
23 below, and that's without wind chill factor.
No.
Aaron, would you get behind me here? There's been areas in the
Northwest. Yeah. We got 24 inches of snow last week. We were negative 50 wind chills for a couple of days. Yeah, it got a little rough.
You guys think I fabricate this stuff.
I was born in Alaska, but I moved to Florida for a reason. I have very thin skin. That sounds awful.
Hey, do you got snow tires for these babies if anybody wants to go tootle around or put a blade on front of them?
Well, you definitely could. Our new B2 model is a Ford Bronco lookalike. You throw some all-terrain tires on there, and we have tested it through the snow. It does pretty well. So we can definitely play around with that for you.
Hey, Aaron, so I'm at your website right now. Look at these things. I can't wait to say hello tomorrow. I'm going to be over at the PGA show, and I'm looking at it. Where you could actually design your own car. How does that work?
So we have 6 different front-end styles on the vintage. We have 5 different tops, 3 different back ends. So that's really where your configuration starts for the vintage. And then we have our B2 and our Lux. Technically, we could make about anything, but to actually create a mold, I mean, you're talking close to 6 figures of mold. So most people don't do a full-on custom. It's within our lines of cars that we already build.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I also saw where then you could book a test drive, but I saw where it says right off into the sunset, you can join. What's the owner's club for these things? Are there thousands of people at the villages that have these things? Do they get together for like road rallies with their golf carts? How does that work?
There are a couple different groups of street rod owners. One real cool thing they do is street rod parade, where there will be a couple hundred of them lined up just driving through the squares and through town and just partying it up.
This in the villages?
They party so hard.
It's
so hard there.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So hard.
Like I said, I was 24, 25, and I was partying there, and I was like, this is insane. I can't.
Well, now I understand why it's the number one spot for STDs in America.
Okay, that was not. Never mind. I've got nothing on that one.
Anyway.
Michael, what are you doing? You're going off the edges. Hey, I can tell you that I know there's a lot of golf carts at the villages. Years ago, I did a golf exhibition down at the Polo Fields. And, we had like 10,000 people showed up to watch our golf exhibition. And in the parking lot, there wasn't many cars, but there had to be like thousands and thousands and thousands of golf carts down there. Aaron, just how many golf carts are down there at the villages?
Last I heard, it was 83,000.
Wow.
They're everywhere. Everywhere.
They drive golf carts everywhere.
Yeah, they have their own golf cart roads. They have literally, you have a whole infrastructure just for golf carts.
Yeah.
You can take a golf cart all over the place there.
Well, I know that there's been also in the news a few people that have gotten the old driving while intoxicated on them there.
I saw a guy get pulled over the other day on Ulmerton on a bicycle at 10 a.m. with getting a DUI. So I feel like it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, Aaron. People are a lot more sane in Iowa than they are down here. And, hey, have they changed the laws in Iowa that you now have to get a plate and lights and get it licensed? I had one in Lake Okoboji for years. I had several, and I never had to do that, but I wondered if they've changed those laws.
Every city is different. They can govern themselves right now.
Gotcha.
Like Clear Lake, you don't have to do that. You just have to get a license with the city. There's like Mason City next door. You have to have an LSV, a low speed vehicle. So there's every town has a different rule.
Yeah, well, like Okoboji finally did that. Some money grab.
Hey, so Aaron, I got a question for you. So you know, we know that, you know, and I mean, you know, we're all getting a little bit older, and we know that the Village is heaven's waiting room. So you've got a lot of people to own these carts down there. Is there a secondary market for these golf carts now at the Villages? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we don't want to think poorly or badly, you know, that we're waiting for someone to die to get a golf cart like this. But is there a way to buy a used one of these?
Yeah, you know, we frequently take trade-ins from customers as they upgrade, get new ones. That's pretty common. When there is a death, we usually get a call, and we go and buy it from them as well. So the used ones sell usually within days of us picking them up.
So there's hope for our mere mortals down there if we wanted to buy one of those things, that, because we may not have quite the budget here on the Sea Florida Golf that other radio shows have, but there might be a chance we might get Patty in one of these carts for us.
Absolutely. We'll hook you up.
Hey, wait a minute. I haven't pulled the Hawkeye card yet. I only got a minute here. I haven't pulled the Hawkeye card. Maybe I can get an aggressive, like, 10-year advertising agreement for him and trade in some capacity. So I'll put together, like, a 50-page proposal. Yeah, with the Hawkeye emphasis in it. Well, Aaron.
Hey, you know, for our listeners out there, just because they think we've gone off the rails here talking about you know, custom golf cars, go to streetrodgolfcars.com, streetrodgolfcars.com, and take a look and see what they got. It's pretty cool.
Amazing stuff.
And the booth number one more time.
785.
All right. But today, and when I saw the Iowa piece of it, I had to bring you guys into the show. I appreciate you taking time, and enjoy your last few days here, and go back to frigid Iowa, and next summer maybe I'll swing through Montezuma and give you a call.
Yeah, please do. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Have a great time there.
Bye, Aaron.
You too. Thank you. Bye, guys.
I wonder what the average price is. Average, if you take the high end and
Everything on the website looked like it was 26 to 29 grand.
Yeah, and then you figure in your tax.
So 40 G's median.
Yeah, hey, but think about this. You know, you live up north, you come down here, you buy a house in the Villages, you got all this equity. You know, if you live at the Villages, 30 grand for a golf cart, that's your transportation. It's like buying a car. You got to have transportation, and it lasts you as long as you last.
A lot of these people do have the second vehicle. You know, my mom lives in a retirement community up there, and they've got a Ford, you know, SUV that drive around. A second vehicle is a golf cart.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to socialize in somebody's house, going out to dinner, going out for drinks or whatever.
Yeah, you save so much money with the fuel. So it's cost car, so.
Yeah, or you wait for somebody to die. Nice job. You're talking about me saying something about STDs, and you bring up death.
I literally blush so
hard. Hour number one is wound down, and we've talked everything from people dying so you can get a golf cart deal to a conversation from the West Coast. We'll be back in a second hour. We're going to talk to Jeremy Friedman. Mark Hagley, our good friend, is live from the PGA show, and he won 4 national awards. I can't wait to talk to him. We'll be back.
This is a big deal, too. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal talking to Mark.
Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.